You know, I heard a guy say one time the devil had a yard sale. And at the devil's yard sale, he had anger, he had bitterness, he had unforgiveness, and he had a bunch of tools on sale. And somebody came and, you know, they were looking to cause somebody to stumble, and they began to look at the tools that the devil had. And these all were at a decent price. But the devil had one, and it was the most expensive tool that he had. And the person that came, you know, looking over these tools that they could buy, you know, they were, they had unforgiveness, and so they, you know, they wanted to buy that one. They had anger, they wanted to buy that one. But and those were all cut rate, right? But there was one that was the highest one in the yard sale, and that was discouragement. And somebody asked the devil, "Why does that one cost so much?" He said, "Because that is my most valuable tool." Because you see, a discouraged Christian isn't worth it.
Welcome to Anchored in Jesus, the teaching ministry of Dr. William R. Glaze, founder of the Pittsburgh Institute of Biblical Studies, author, and senior pastor of Bethany Baptist Church. This is Sonia Hall, thanking you for joining us today for Discouragement, Stay on the Wall. So let's join Dr. Glaze for the conclusion of Discouragement, Stay on the Wall.
And it was just a pile of rubbish. And now Nehemiah's going back and he's looking at it, and it seems like the problems are overwhelming. It seems like, man, there's just so much here to do. Yeah, I'm often reminded, and it's happened several times in the 30 years that I've lived in my home, where in my garage, the sewage has backed up. And, you know, if you've ever gone and you've seen sewage that has backed up, and I don't mean just a little puddle, I mean the to the place where it's all over, got on things, right? What's the first thing that you say? Now, maybe there's some of you who are super spiritual. Praise God! Look at this! Wow! Man, this is exciting! Right? You know, my first thought is, oh, no. I mean, man, you're talking about something that's discouraging. You're talking about something that will just deflate you in a second. And so sometimes overwhelming problems can be those things that cause discouragement in our life. When we just look at what's around us and we look at it, it just seems like the problems are many and they just keep coming and coming and coming, and it just causes us to lose all heart. It causes us to lose our joy. It causes us to lose our song. Fear. Look at verses 11 and 12. Fear will bring about discouragement. And our adversary said in verse 11, "They shall not know, neither see, till we come among them and slay them and cause the work to see." We're going to kill them. You know, if they don't stop, we're going to kill them. Now, if that don't put fear into you, I don't know what will. And it came to pass that when the Jews who dwelt by them came, they said unto us 10 times from all the places, "Where shall you return until they will be upon you?" So they threatened them. They threatened to kill them. They used fear to try to overcome. And a lot of times when we are excited about something, fear will come into our lives. Fear of failure, fear of criticism, fear of rejection, fear of not pleasing or living up to the standards. And that will deflate you. That will cause you to be discouraged. It's like Proverbs said, it's like the brokenness of spirit, you know, just deflates the bones. And then a final thing is lack of recognition or appreciation. And the reason that I didn't put a scripture behind that, because I didn't see one, but you know, something else I didn't see. You know, I didn't see where Nehemiah was getting any encouragement. you know, in this area of rebuilding was. Seemed like all he got was criticism, resistance, overwhelming problems, fear, and not too many people were coming up to him. Even among his own people, they were fighting, and they were charging exorbitant interest rates. And so Nehemiah is just getting it from every aspect, from every area. And there's just this lack of appreciation. You know, it's like the lady who picked up the communion cups after communion, and the pastor just happened to notice her picking them up after church. And he said to one of the deacons, he said, Sister so-and-so, she's picking up those communion cups. How long has she been doing that? And the deacon said, oh, pastor, she's been doing that for 20 years. And the pastor thought to himself, you know, 20 years, and I've never, you know, went up to her and told her that I appreciated, told her that, you know, that was something that is necessary in the body of Christ. And so he goes up and he says, Sister, I just want to apologize that in those 20 years that you did that, I never came and offered a gratitude or appreciation to you. And she said, Pastor, if I was doing it for you, I'd be upset. But I'm not doing it for you. I'm doing it for the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And so it's very easy sometimes to get discouraged when you don't get appreciated, when it seems like you're doing something and nobody's appreciating you. You know, and some of you have been there, right? You've been there. And so the only recourse and the only thing that we can come back to is just think about, man, I'm doing it for an audience of one. You know, I'm not going to pull back on my service because I didn't get appreciated. You know, I share the story often about one time when the washing machine went out at our house, and I was filmed a little bit unappreciated, right? And I said, man, you know, I pay the bills, and you know, I keep the roof over our heads, and you know, put gas in the cars, and as far as my kids were concerned, you know, that nobody comes and says, man, Dad, I appreciate it, right? Dad, you know, man, you know, it's so good. You know, it was interesting that the other day, my son Daniel, he texted me and my wife, and he just said that, Mom and Dad, I just want to let you know that I appreciate you, and that you know, you guys are great parents and grandparents, and so I said, well, I guess maybe it comes back, you know, a little bit later in life, right, right? Because as they were growing up, you know, we weren't getting it, so I didn't get the washing machine fixed, and then you know, all the clothes in the house started getting dirty, and then my clothes started getting dirty, and I had to go to the laundromat. And, you know, I was at the laundromat and, you know, washing my clothes. And all of a sudden, I heard a voice out of the dryer. And it said, you sure taught them a lesson, didn't you? So it's easy, you know, to feel unappreciated, right? And that unappreciation, you know, leads us to a point of discouragement. And so when we think about Nehemiah, you know, what were the causes of discouragement, criticism, resistance, overwhelming problems, fear, lack of recognition, and appreciation? But as we move on, you know, we see that the results of discouragement, there's an emotional letdown, right? Where there once was passion and fire, you know, it goes away. Then you begin to be angry, right? When you get discouraged, you get angry, and sometimes, you know, you look at yourself as the source of the anger, as the object of the anger, or then sometimes, you know, you begin to just think around, well, you know, so-and-so, you know, they knew what I was going through, right? You know, if they wouldn't have did this, then, you know, I wouldn't be in this situation that I'm in right now. And so, you know, what do you start doing? You start getting angry. You get angry with other people. Man, you know, they should have known this. You know, they saw me. They knew that I was dealing with this. And so, you know, there's this getting angry, and then there's this backsliding, you know, and that is when you get discouraged, you know, that you step away from God and you step away from service. There's questioning. You know, you begin to question yourself. You begin to question others. And more importantly, you begin to question God. You know, God, you see me. You know what I'm going through. Yo, where are you at, God? Where are you at in the midst of all this? And it just seems like God is nowhere around, man. You know, here you are basking in discouragement, and then you wonder where God is, man. You're like Job. You put an APB out on God. Where is God that I can go to him? You know, at least let him show up where I can plead my case to him, right? And there's this just discouragement. And it's like I said in the poem that, you know, the only phone number you know is 1-800-WHO-CARES, right? 1-800-WHO-CARES. But you can't even call them because you left your phone downstairs, right? It's pretty bad, you know? Depression, mishandling. And this is when you mishandle discouragement, that it can very easily escalate into depression. And then you look for people to blame. You know, you look to point the finger, and you see who you can blame. And so these are some of the results of discouragement. And as I said, one of the most tragic things is that God cannot use a discouraged person. Just think about the times of discouragement that you might press through, but it just seems like everything is perfunctory. You may press through, but you're just going through the motions. And if you don't do that, then you just go and quit. You just go and sit down. Yeah, I remember there was a evangelist, and he had got discouraged because he was preaching, but nobody was coming to the Lord. And so he ran into another guy, and he told the guy, he said, "Man, you know, this ministry stuff is for the birds." He said, "I'm quitting." And the guy challenged him. He said, "You telling me that you're quitting? You're coming to me, and you're telling me that you're quitting? You ought to get down on your knees, and you ought to bow your head, and you ought to tell the God in heaven that you're quitting." And it says that the man got down, he tried to do it, but he just couldn't bring those words to tell God that he was quitting. And according to the story, he got up with new vigor and zeal and went and preached, and many souls got saved as a result of that. See, if Satan could have kept him discouraged, just think of all the people who God would have used somebody else to bring them to Christ, but he used this individual. And he was in the throes of discouragement, but he was able to come out of it and go forth and serve the Lord. But you know, maybe, I guess, you know, maybe some people, they have an easy time telling God, "I quit," right? I mean, you know, and there are times that, you know, so let me say this, because I think we need to be sensitive, because there may be times when God is telling us to quit. But if we're quitting because we're discouraged, and that's the only reason, then it might be kind of hard to tell God that I quit. And we might need to look for that zeal and that excitement to continue on to serve God. As a matter of fact, we need to use negatives to develop. You know, in these days of smartphones and everything else, you know, where you take your picture and you got it right away, you know, you don't need negatives, right? But there was back in the day, whenever you took a picture, what would you get? You would get a negative, and that you would have to take it somewhere and get it developed, and that would turn into a nice picture, right? And so when we have negatives in our lives, we need to take them to the Photoshop of God. We need to take them to God's drugstore. And we need to let God use the negatives to develop into something beautiful. Instead of being discouraged, use the negatives to develop. And so, just want to share this last part. And, you know, we talked about the beginning of the year having an anointing on us. And, you know, the last couple weeks, I've been talking about having a Daniel anointing. So, today, let me talk about having a Nehemiah anointing. A Nehemiah anointing. And what is a Nehemiah anointing? It's having an anointing to overcome discouragement. It's an anointing to overcome discouragement. So I'm going to ask that you would look at your notes, the back page, And I'm just going to go through this real quick. And the first thing, notice what it says at the top. And at the very top, it says, Nehemiah dealt with discouragement in a proper manner, and that he was able, notice this, he was able to complete building the walls in 52 days. With all that was going on, with all the criticism, with all the resistance, the overwhelming problems, the fear, the lack of recognition and appreciation, with everything going on, in 52 days, he completed the wall. We need to have the spirit of Nehemiah. Oh, that we would have the spirit of Nehemiah. Oh, that we would have the anointing of Nehemiah. The first thing, it says, he had a spirit of prayer. What did he say? That if we're going to overcome our disappointments, if we're going to overcome our discouragements, we need to have a spirit of prayer. Hear, O our God. And then look what he said. We made our prayer unto our God. And the verses are there if you want to read them. A spirit of prayer. That if you were going to overcome discouragement, man, I like Sister Evelina. She, one of our members, right? But I remember at prayer meeting on Wednesdays, she would always say, Reverend Glaze, I got down on my rusty knee and prayed, right? And so sometimes you need to get down on your rusty knees and you need to pray. You need to have a spirit of prayer. You know, there's a James, the brother of Jesus, they called him camel knees. And one of the reasons that they called him camel knees is because he was always on his knees in prayer, and his knees actually, he prayed so much that his knees looked like the knees of a camel. And so they called him Old Camel Knees. And so maybe we need to get that nickname, right? That nickname of Old Camel Knees when it comes to dealing with discouragement. Second, a spirit of Nehemiah is a spirit of determination. Wow. Wow. Look what it says here. 4:6. For the people had a mind to work. They were determined. They were determined that nothing was not going to discourage them. Man, if a fox comes up on the wall, it's going to knock it over. Well, let the fox come. Bring it on, Long John. Bring it on. Right? Yeah, well, you know, we're determined that you are not going to break our spirit. You know, we're determined that we're not, AJ, real quick, just can you go back to that slide by Charles Stanley that talks about that we might be disappointed, but we're not going to get discouraged. There you go. Disappointments are inevitable. Some of you may have had 3 or 4 disappointments already this morning. They're inevitable. But discouragement is a choice. And when you have a spirit of determination, where you are not going to allow whatever it is that's trying to bring you down to get a hold of you, then you're going to be able to overcome that spirit of discouragement. Number 3, they had a spirit of awareness. Verse 9, they set a watch, right? They were aware. Now, you know, the interesting thing is that, I'm just going to bring it up to today's terms, right? They had a revolver in one hand and a prayer book in the other hand, right? As a matter of fact, not only, go back to the first slide, the title slide. You see that? Look what they got in one hand, a sword and a trowel, right? So what were they doing? They were working and watching. In case, bring it on. You want to discourage us? Right now, again, no, I'm not promoting violence. Let me say that. Let me say that. I'm not promoting violence. But it's very interesting that even later on, it says that Nehemiah punched them in the face and pulled their beard. But that's man of God. Man of God. Oh, I see y'all looking at that. Some of y'all looking at that. Man, I'm just quoting the scripture now, right? I'm just telling you what the scripture says, right? So I guess Nehemiah, as godly as he was, he must have got into flesh a little bit. All right, then he probably went and asked God to forgive him after that. But if you look at it right there, and why did they have the sword in one hand? Because they had to be ready to fight. That if, you know, the enemies were going to come and try to get them down off of the wall, that they were ready to take them on. But they were still working. They were still doing what God told them to do. So there's a spirit of awareness. There's a spirit of courage. Verse 14, be not afraid. If you're doing what God has called you to do, then you don't need to be afraid of anybody, because God is going to help you complete whatever it is that he called you to do. You know, I say all the time, where God guides, he provides. Where he leads, he feeds. Where he directs, he protects. So if God is leading you to do something, then don't be afraid. Don't be scared. Just step on out there, right? And do what it is that God has called you to do. A spirit of trust. Look what it said. They remembered the Lord. God brought to naught their counsel to naught. Our God shall fight for us. They had a spirit of trust, that they trusted God. And not only that, but they had a spirit of wisdom. Everyone with one of his hands wrought the work, and the other hand, they held a weapon. So we already talked about that. They used wisdom. A trowel in one hand and a sword in the other hand. But then I like this. This is probably my favorite part right here. And they had a spirit of perseverance. Let's look at Nehemiah chapter 6. Nehemiah chapter 6. And would to God that as I close this message today, would to God that this be the attitude of every believer that God has called to do something for him. A spirit of perseverance. Chapter 6 and verse 1. Now it came to pass when Sanballat and Tobiah and Gershom the Arabian and the rest of our enemies heard that I had built the wall and that there was no breach left in it, though at times I had not set up the doors upon the gate. So he had built the wall but had not put the doors in yet. Then Sanballat and Gershom sent unto me, saying, come, let us meet together in the villages in the plain of Ono. Right? So that would tell me something right there. I'm not meeting anybody in the plain of Ono. Maybe Oh Yes, but not Ono. But they thought to do me mischief. That's all that's in the plain of Ono was mischief. And I sent messengers unto them saying, I am doing a great work so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and come down unto you? But look, they didn't stop. They didn't stop. Yet they sent unto me four times. Come down. Come on down. Come on down. Come on down. You would have thought they was in the Price is Right. Come on down. All right? And I answered them the same way every time. I'm not coming down. The spirit and the anointing of Nehemiah is a spirit of prayer, determination, awareness, courage, trust, wisdom, and perseverance. Stay on the wall, my friend. Whatever it is that God has called you to do. If you're getting discouraged, stay on the wall. Seek the reason for the discouragement. Understand why it is that you are being discouraged. Deal with the reason that you're being discouraged, but stay on the wall. Don't let anybody talk to you off the wall.
Thank you for joining us today on Anchored in Jesus. Tune in next time for the first half of part one of Have You Had Your Grass Eating Experience? If you would like to request an audio copy of today's message, Discouragement, Stay on the Wall, you can contact us at anchoredinjesus.org and request Discouragement, Stay on the Wall. That's anchoredinjesus.org and request Discouragement, Stay on the Wall. Or call us at 877-831-5060. When you visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, you can view many of the other teachings by Dr. Glaze. Dr. Glaze is the author of 8 books. For more information about these resources and how to order, visit anchoredinjesus.org or call 877-831-5060. We also invite you to like us on Facebook at Anchored in Jesus Ministries. If you would like to make a financial contribution, please visit our website, anchoredinjesus.org, or send it to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. Once again, that website is anchoredinjesus.org, or you can send your financial contribution to Anchored in Jesus at P.O. Box 24034, Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania 15206. It's through your prayers and gifts that we remain on the air. Our title, Anchored in Jesus, comes from Hebrews chapter 6, verse 19, which lets us know that Jesus is our high priest and an anchor for the soul. Now, for Dr. Glaze and our volunteer staff, I'm your host, Sonia Hall, reminding you, you don't have to be tossed in the storms of life. Your soul can be anchored in the Lord.